Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday, and welcome to our weekly Awakening Together gathering. As you know, we always start our gatherings by giving everyone a chance to greet one another, say hello, acknowledge one another, and so we'll start with that again today, as we always do. I'm going to play the song that I typically play during this time, which is Awakening. And if everyone would, please join in on the board saying hello to one another.
To the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here, melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Continue with our program. We do have a regular program that we follow for our Sunday morning gathering. And anyone who's interested in seeing what the elements of that program are, can go to awakening-together.org. That is our website. Click on Interact, and there you will see a weekly gathering program link, and you can go and see what our weekly gathering program is. But next on our program is our statement of purpose. And Awakening Together operates based on five core values. One of those core values is this: we realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. I have found this to be a very important value for me in the time that we have been awakening together. All of these values I would have thought that I already embodied when the values were written. But what I've found since we've been awakening together is that some of these values were not fully embodied. And the way that I could tell that is when a sense of resistance shows up in me. When maybe someone is teaching in the room and they say something that I do not agree with. And I feel that sense of resistance. Or when someone is typing in Facebook, maybe the same thing happens. But what I chose to do, as the president, minister, and founder of Awakening Together, is to fully embody these five core values. And anything in me that was still resistant to them, I chose to let go of. And for me, that was kind of a no matter what decision. And so one of the things that I've been doing is, of course, living this core value, all five, but today I'm focusing on this one. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. That one I've found no resistance to. That one maybe is fully embodied. If there is resistance to that portion of it, it's yet to come up. I have not felt any resistance to the knowing that everyone is equal and everyone has equal spiritual intuition and no one is an authority over anyone else. That has been fine for me. It's the second part where I've noticed resistance from time to time. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. Sometimes there's a bit of resistance there. Sometimes there's a desire to tell someone else that they are wrong, to point out a higher teaching. And what I have chosen to do is to not follow those desires. You could call them temptations if you like. I've chosen to, whenever that energy shows up in me, to point out that someone else is wrong, or to point out that there is a higher teaching, a better way of looking at it. I have chosen to be still, be silent within myself. I've chosen instead to listen to each one, to respect each one, and to allow each one, including myself, to be where he or she is. And I think this value is really helping to further purify this mind and further awaken me beyond the ideas of duality. Our announcements, that's what's next on our program. The primary announcement I have is that next Sunday, March 2nd, will be our monthly member meeting. It will be held right here in the sanctuary immediately following my Sunday evening teaching. That will be 8 p.m. Eastern Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Time. So if you'd like to attend next week's member meeting, please be here by either 8 or 5 p.m. depending on your time zone next Sunday night, March 2nd. Another thing that I'd like to talk about during the announcements part of our program is our website. I don't know if everyone goes to our website. Actually, Jay recently shared with me some statistics that shows that quite a few people are going to the website. But I still felt today to share some of the information that you will find on the website if you're not aware of it. We have several menus on the menu bar on our homepage. One menu is the About Us menu. And if you look on that menu, that's where you can become familiar with the board of directors at Awakening Together, the member board of trustees, and our ministers. This is not static information. It changes from time to time. In fact, this summer we'll be having our first Awakening Together elections to elect more people to the member board of trustees. There's also going to be some upcoming movement between the member board and the board of directors. And when this first group of MPP participants completes the MPP program, there will be additional ministers. So if you want to get up to date on who our directors, trustees, and ministers are, you can go to the About Us menu. On the Interact menu, You can learn about our daily contemplation meetings and our weekly prayer circle. We have a daily quote that is shared each morning, and everyone is invited to come here to the sanctuary every night, 7 nights a week, at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, in order to share based on the contemplation of the daily quote. Also, each week, Tuesday morning, at 6:30 a.m. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that's my time. At 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and then 5:30 a.m. Pacific Time, we have a weekly prayer circle. Everyone is invited to come to prayer circle, but also everyone is invited to submit prayers for prayer circle. Prayers can be submitted to my email address, which is regina.awakeningtogether@gmail.com. But again, you can find out more about our daily contemplation meetings and our weekly prayer circle on the Interact menu. All the information is there. On our Sanctuary menu, you can find out how to become a presenter here in the Sanctuary, and you can also find out how to become a room administrator. The room administrators are really helpful to welcoming new people into the room when they come, helping to orient new people to what this room is about, to covering times if a speaker is unavailable. The admin covers that time by either sharing themselves or by playing a recording or finding someone else to share during that time. Without the room admins, we don't have a room. We don't have a sanctuary. And we could really use more administrators. You can volunteer to be an administrator for any time slot, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hour. I'm a 4 hour administrator on Wednesdays. That's a part of my volunteer service to Awakening Together. I was doing it very early in the morning, 8 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. But as of this week, I'm going to switch, do it a little later in the day, to free Lynn up during a time when it's convenient to run errands and such. So starting this week, I'll be the administrator for a 4 hour time slot on Wednesdays from 11:30 Eastern Time to 3:30 Eastern Time. We welcome anyone else who feels a call to be administrator or just a desire to help out. That's a great way to help out. So you can find out more about that on our sanctuary menu. Our inspiration menu is just chock plum full of stuff. You'll find our daily quote on the inspiration menu. Featured talks from the sanctuary, including recordings of all of our monthly satsangs and the featured talks area of our inspiration menu. All of our gatherings, the recordings of them are archived on our inspiration menu. There's also a list of free ebooks. And you'll also find the Awakening Together blog, which has articles from masters, teachers, and members. And in fact, any member who wants to can submit an article to be published on the Awakening Together blog. Karen Ann, who's going to be our reader today, her article was the most recent one published there on the blog. So when you get a chance, go to our inspiration menu, have a look at our Awakening Together blog, and if you feel to submit an article, you can click on a link there that tells you what the submission guidelines are, and I look forward to reading your articles. The events menu, of course, lists all of the retreats and events that are coming up, including our Choose Again retreat, which is coming up in May here in Colorado, May 3 to May 10. Choose Again is a great event for anyone who feels stuck at some point on their spiritual path. You know, whether you feel stuck because of some type of an addiction, be it a food addiction or addiction to alcohol or cigarettes or drugs, whether you feel stuck because you have a mental illness diagnosis and somehow that mental illness really feels like a strong obstacle for you. Or whether you feel stuck just with, you know, you're always worrying, you're always anxious, or you feel so unworthy, or you feel so guilty, or anything at all where you just don't feel like you seem to be able to get past it yourself, and you would like some help. That's really what the Choose Again retreat is all about. So if you're interested in the Choose Again retreat, please go to our events menu, find the Choose Again retreat in Colorado, the Rocky Mountains. Of course, we also have our Santa Barbara retreats coming up in September. Our Santa Barbara Satsang is a wonderful opportunity to be with two realized beings. One, some of you may know as Magdi. Some of you may know him from Facebook, plus he's been here in the room teaching a few times. And the other one is a man named Timothy Conway, both of whom have experienced the sudden shift of awakening, both of whom seem to have also settled into that shift. There are some who seem to experience the shift, but then still seem to have some quite rocky times of going back and forth between the ego and the clarity, and maybe not even being fully aware that they're going back and forth. But both Magdi and Timothy seem pretty settled within the shift. And so at the satsang, we'll have an opportunity to be with them, to hear what they have to share from their perspective, and also to ask questions. And then that's followed by another retreat called Soak in the Beauty. That's a retreat with me, similar to the Costa Rica retreat, which is 2 weeks away, in that it's a time of silence, contemplation, asking questions, and really having lots and lots of space. It'll be a wonderful opportunity right after the satsang retreat, because there may be clarity or resistance that comes up at the satsang. Either one can happen. But both are a wonderful opportunity for additional awakening. And then instead of running right back to your regular life, hanging out in Santa Barbara at the Soak in the Beauty retreat would be very helpful to settling into whatever clarity or realization comes, and also to looking at, and maybe even if you needed having help with, any resistance that may come. Again, all of that information is on our events menu. The next menu on our website is the Join Us menu. That's where you can become an Awakening Together member. We're getting close to 300 members. So a lot of people have decided to join, but each week there usually are about 10 people here in the room who are not members. So if you would like to become a member of Awakening Together, if you find you're attracted to this room, you're coming to our gatherings each week, but you haven't joined, and you want to, you can go to the Join Us menu and become a member. Also, that's where you can sign up for our daily updates. Only about half of our members are signed up for the daily updates. The daily update is one email per day, no more than one. But in that one email, everything that has been added to our website is included. So if we've added a new event, if we've added a new audio, if I've made a new announcement, plus the daily quote, it will all be included in one email. So it's really easy to not miss a thing by opening only one email per day if you join the daily updates. So if you aren't receiving the daily updates, I encourage you to consider that. Again, you can do that on the Join Us menu. And then there is our For Members menu. And again, there's a lot of information on the For Members menu. Once again, chock plum full of information. But you will find the Awakening Together news there. And in fact, if you go look today, you'll notice yesterday I announced a Awakening Together logo contest. That's in the Awakening Together news. Also, audios from all of our member meetings, our financial reports, our constitution, bylaws, policy and procedures, and more. So if any of that interests you, go have a look at our four members. And then, of course, our last menu is our donate menu. And now what I would like to do is play an opening song. This is a song by a man named Matthew West. And the name of the song is Forgiveness.
It's the hardest thing to give away. The last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying set it free. Forgiveness. 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 Away, it can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness.
Again, the name of that song was Forgiveness. That was by Matthew West, and it's on his Into the Light CD. Why don't we take a moment for quiet and prayer? My prayer today is for self-honesty. For each and every one of us. We all love the idea of forgiveness. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. And maybe one thing that keeps us from embracing forgiveness fully is that our lack of forgiveness is sometimes hidden from us. Maybe we feel self-righteous in our judgment. Maybe we feel certain that we're the victim, we were wronged. Whatever the apparent reason is for not forgiving fully, All of those reasons can be uncovered and shown to us if we seek self-honesty more than anything else. If we want more than anything for every obstacle to love's presence to be revealed to us, so that we can see through them, let them go, and be the abidance of forgiveness. Even more, be the abidance of that which sees nothing to forgive. One that has transcended forgiveness as the last illusion. One who knows only the light. Amen. And with that said, I'm now going to turn the mic over to Karen Ann. She will share our reading today from The Way of the Heart, which some of you may know as the first book in The Way of Mastery. These are teachings from Jeshua, as channeled by John Markhammer. Karen Ann, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. Good morning, everyone. Therefore, in truth, understand well, forgiveness is essential. What has not been forgiven in others has not been forgiven in you, but not by a God who sits outside of you, for he never judges. What you have not forgiven in another or in the world is but a refuse you carry within as a burden that you cannot forgive of yourself. You have an interesting saying in your, it takes one to know one. Do you think you would even be able to judge another if there was not something within you being elicited that triggers within you the belief that you know exactly what that other one is up to? That is why you judge them. Sometimes you judge harshly because you fear that energy in yourself. Or you remember how hurtful you have been when you have acted from that energy. But when you have forgiven yourself, rest assured, you will know what it means to walk in this world, yet not be of this world. You will be able to feel the energy or the activities that any other soul may freely choose. You will discern that energy, you will understand that energy, and you will see through it and still see the face of Christ before you. You will not react, which literally means to act again, as you did in the past. Instead, even if you are being persecuted, or to speak from personal experience, to be nailed upon a cross, you will have cultivated the ability to love. And in all situations, no matter what another is doing, your first response will be to enter into the quiet stillness within and merely ask the Holy Spirit, what would you have me say? What is most appropriate for this other soul in this moment? For when forgiveness has purified the mind and the heart and the emotional field of your own being, you will discover that you exist only to extend love. You are the Savior of the world. In each situation, your role is to ask the Holy Spirit how you can serve the atonement, the correction, the healing that yet needs to be acquired within another soul. So even if one hates you, you will not respond with defensiveness, but with curiosity, with innocent witnessing. Even if your hands have nails going through them, I tell you truthfully, that it is possible to still enter the quiet sanctuary of the heart and to ask of the Holy Spirit, what would you have me say or do that can serve the healing of my brother or sister's heart? All that I will be sharing with you, not just in this lesson, but in this course, has as its final goal your complete Christed consciousness and the fulfillment of what your own soul desires, forgiveness. There is nothing you can be aware of in the energy of another that you have not known in yourself. There is nothing another can say or do, or even imagine themselves capable of saying or doing, that you have not also known. Again, it takes one to know one. When you perceive another acting out of hostility or fear, the only way you can recognize it is because you have been there. The very fact that in your world, one can murder another's body and you can react with knowledge that that is inappropriate behavior is because as a soul, you know the energies involved in the attempt to murder another. If you are honest with yourself, you can probably come up with at least 50 times in the last year that murderous thoughts have entered your mind. You may not act on them. You may not even dwell on them for more than a split second. But the energy has come into the field of your awareness, and you have known it and recognized it. Who then is less than you? Who then is worthy of your judgment? No one. Who then is equal to you? Everyone. And who then is worthy of your love? Everyone. Forgiveness is the bridge that links you to the soul, the essence of your brother or sister. Forgiveness is that bridge that, when cultivated, will allow you to see clearly, not just the energies that another is expressing, but you will literally be able to see what events seem to cultivate that soul's belief that they must act in that way to survive, and what perceptions have led them to feel justified in their inappropriate behaviors. You will see it as clearly as though someone had drawn a picture in front of you. Then you will see skillfully what to say and what to do to gently help another correct their misperceptions of themselves and learn the path of self-forgiveness. And when that hour comes, rest assured, you will walk in this world, yet you will not be in it. You will be as I became. You will be the savior of the world. Amen.
Thank you very much, Karen Ann. As I read this over this week, after Karen Ann selected this as the reading, I was actually reminded of O.J. Simpson. I don't know if you all can remember way back when O.J. Simpson was a hero, a good guy, you know, one of the shining stars. Do you guys remember that? And then one day this announcement came on the news that O.J. Simpson had murdered his ex-wife and a friend of hers. And I don't know how you felt, but I was shocked. I mean, how could one of the good guys commit murder? And I called my dad that day, or he called me, something happened, we ended up talking. And I said to him, you know, I just can't believe that OJ, you know, meaning a hero, would do something like that. And my dad, who is also a very good man, in fact, my dad reminds me very much of Andy Taylor. Some of you will remember him too. Sheriff Andy Taylor, you know, he's a good guy, right? Well, my dad reminds me a lot of Sheriff Andy Taylor, always has. So my dad, this good guy, when I told him I was shocked at what OJ was being accused of doing, that I couldn't imagine a hero doing something like that, my dad said, we're all capable of murder. And I think that shocked me even more. But now I realize that my dad was just being wise. You know, as it says in this particular excerpt from The Way of the Heart, we've all felt those energies. We've all had those thoughts. I remember wishing fairly consistently when I was a teenager that my stepmother would die. I love her to death now, but then I wished fairly consistently that she would die. So I know that energy. And who's to say that if I have that energy in me, who's to say that the right set of circumstances, the right set of focus on that energy, wouldn't result in a physical murder? Truth is, it happens all the time. One of the things I asked for in our prayer, in fact, probably the primary thing I asked for in our prayer today, was self-honesty. You know, whether we think that O.J. Simpson was guilty or the victim of Mark Furman, who was actually the guilty party in that case, if we look out there and get caught up in that story, we're avoiding the opportunity for the self-honesty that my dad displayed for me that day. The question isn't really at all about what's out there and what are they doing, who's out there that's good and who's out there that's bad, and who's doing what they should be doing and who's not doing things they should be doing or doing things they shouldn't be doing. You know, it's not about that at all, and that's where we all get distracted. It's about what's happening right here. What are the energies that are here? And it's not about that in a broad stroke either. Because if we try to look at the energies in us in a broad stroke, my guess is we would just fail and become frustrated. It's only about this moment now. What energy is here now in me? That makes it the simplest thing in the world. Just constantly staying in touch with what energy is here now in me. One of the books that was being taught in the sanctuary earlier today is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. That is also one of the books that I've selected for the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program, because it is such a simple, clear book about the purification of these energies that are not Christ-like, not Buddha-like, not God-like. And what Michael Singer encourages us to do is, again, to be in touch with the energies that are here now, but to be in touch with something else too. The symbol he uses is the symbol of the heart. And other symbols could be used, but he uses the symbol of the heart. And he refers to the heart as like a valve, that when it's open, it allows everything through. But when it's closed, it shuts some things out. But the funny thing about that symbol is, anything that is shut out, anything that is not allowed to pass through the heart, becomes a repressed energy in us. And in fact, just now in the Way of the Heart, we heard Jeshua talking about what has not been forgiven in others has not been forgiven in us. That would be those repressed energies that didn't make it through the heart valve. So if I were to look at the names in the room now and see someone that I still have a grievance against, but then I don't really want to see that. I don't want to see that I still have a grievance because I don't want to believe that about myself. And so I quickly close the heart, repress the thought, and go on. This now remains in me as a part of my filter through which I view the world. And then when time goes on and I see someone else that I can tell has a grievance, but they're not admitting up to it, they're not looking at it themselves, I may then find myself judging that person. But that's just a projection that has come as a gift to me to help me see that I'm not always honest with myself. I'm not letting everything through the heart valve. I am carrying some repressed material myself. And this is the cause of my suffering. I also love Michael Singer's definition of suffering. I think it's the best definition of suffering I've ever seen. He says that suffering is the burden of having to think about yourself all of the time. The more of these repressed energies that I have, the stronger my ego sense of self is, or the stronger the idea of a me different than you is. It's like if I was able to stay in the flow and let everything pass through the heart valve, not close up to anything, not repress anything, I would know myself as that flow. Or as Jeshua says at the end of this particular reading, I would know myself as being in the world but not of the world. Just the flow. But when I close to a number of experiences, thoughts, events, and they get clogged up and they fall down into the repressed area of the psyche, then they create a sense of self. They add up and they create a sense of self. Plus everything I do to try and protect myself from having to look at them, that adds up and creates a sense of self. And then there's a very strong me and a very strong you. And I think about myself all of the time. I think about what you think of me. I think about what I'm going to do in the future to make me look good or to make me feel safe. I think about what's happened in the future and how that reflected on me, what people thought of me, you know, who I like, who I don't like, who's on my side, who's not on my side. And that's the definition of suffering. Well, Michael Singer takes all of this and makes it very, very simple. Very, very, very simple. And I love simple. He says, all that you have to do is stay in touch with the energies that are present in you in this current moment. I don't have to think about all the possible energies, but just what's right here, right now. And then just do my best to stay open. Let everything through the heart valve. So what that means is, if I look at the list of names in the room and I see someone who there still seems to be a grievance there, and I feel that heart wanting to close up, I feel that judgment wanting to be loved by the mind, and then maybe I see next this quick desire to repress it, what I do in that moment is I see all of this activity and then I relax. And I let the feeling of that grievance be in me. I don't push it away. I don't judge it. I don't run from it. I let that feeling of that grievance be. And then a next step that I can take, which I find to be extremely helpful, as I'm letting that feeling of grievance be, as I ask, who is the I that holds this grievance? I look at it. I inquire into it. And what happens then, at least for me, is the heart gets blown wide open as I see that it's not me. Not what I really am. And then at that point, when I see that it's not me, the grievance itself, the idea about the grievance, it all becomes completely meaningless. It's only meaningful if it's me with a grievance. When I see that it's not me, it becomes meaningless. And when it's meaningless, the heart opens all the way and lets it go completely through. And then you know what happens? It's gone. It's gone. There's no more grievance. It just goes out into the nothingness and disappears. So if you'll allow me to use the word failure without judgment, I would like to say, so the places where we fail at forgiveness is, number one, not being aware of the energies in me right now, but looking out there at you. You're the jerk. Not even looking at me. That's the first point of failure. The second point of failure is looking at me, but thinking that some energies are good and some energies are bad. And as soon as one of those energies that I've judged as bad shows up, closing down to it, not letting it through, repressing it, judging it, and therefore storing it, keeping it, which if you think about it is kind of crazy. Why would I want to keep it? But that's what happens when I judge it. That's why, yes, what you resist persists. That's why. That's my second point of failure. But my third point of failure is the subtlest of all. My third point of failure is thinking that this is me. I'm the one with the grievance. I'm the one that needs to decide what to do with it. I'm the one that either needs to relax and let it through the heart valve, or I'm the one who might repress it, or I'm the one who might project it, but I'm the one. In the beginning, if you're like me, you might be in that state of mind, I'm the one. That's what it feels like. You know, I feel the grievance hit. It feels like it's me, because it is a part of that ego sense. So it feels like it's me. And so I have to tell myself, relax. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't push it away, right? All of this has a me feeling about it still. But then once I've successfully relaxed, I'm successfully allowing the energy to be present, that's when it's time for the inquiry. I don't want to do it until the relaxing has happened, however, because the relaxing is like shifting from the wrong mind to the right mind. If I try and ask the self-inquiry while I'm still in the resistance, still in the wrong mind, the self-inquiry most likely will not be successful. So I want to do the relaxing. I want to allow the grievance to be. I want to feel that energy, breathe a little bit. And when I feel I've fully relaxed and I'm fully accepting of this energy, allowing this energy to be, then I ask, because then I've shifted to the right mind. I've shifted from judgment to acceptance, right? Then I ask, who is the I that has this grievance? And in seeing the answer to that question, realizing the answer to that question, that's what blows the heart wide open. That's what allows the grievance to pass completely through, disappear. That's the miracle. And that's why forgiveness is an illusion, because ultimately the one who's trying to forgive still believes there's a me. And when it's seen that there's no me that has a grievance, but then there can also be no forgiveness. There is just the flow again. Just the flow. All right, it is time for our contemplation of today's reading and today's teaching. A friend sent me a CD. It's her CD. It's her chanting that comes to her when she's in self-contemplation. Her name is Anu French. She's in St. Louis. And I'm going to play the first song on her CD, which is Ganesh, Wake Up My Divinity. For those of you who don't know Ganesh, Ganesh is a Hindu god known as the remover of obstacles. Also, during this time of contemplation, if you wish, you can make a donation to Awakening Together. Barb will put a link in the room. All right, here we go.
Wake up, wake up, my divinity. Wake up, my divinity. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Ganeshaya Namaha. Om Ganeshaya Namaha. Om Gam Ganapataye Namaha. Om Ganeshaya Namaha.
Well, this is the time of the gathering where everyone is invited to share based on the reading and the teaching today, the topic of which, of course, was forgiveness. So if you would like to share, please put up your hand and I will turn the mic over to you. All right, Lynn, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. And Ale Jazzy, all you have to do is go up to favorites at the top of the room and make this room a favorite. And you can always come back here then, so you will never get lost. What I wanted to say about forgiveness is really all that's ever needed whenever I perceive that there is a sadness or an upset or a fear or anything other than joy. Whenever I perceive that there is anything other than joy, it is almost automatic now. It used to be so foreign to me. But now, almost automatically, when I perceive a fire in the chest, a nervousness in the heart, a fear in the mind, or an upset in any way at all, that I go immediately to look at my own mind and immediately to look at, you know, is this a thought that God would have me think? Immediately to the thought of, is there anything in this world, in this plane of existence that can harm a son of God, even if it's a mental or emotional thought, which all of it is. It's all in my mind. So immediately I go to my mind and I look at it and see, is there something here that can harm me? Is there something here that is outside of the will of God or the love of God? And doing that, I recognize that just as it says in the very beginning of the Course in Miracles, nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. That to me is what forgiveness is. It is coming to the point where I return to the peace of God. And in that way, I always, always can forgive and remember my truth. And so thank you so much for this topic today, and thank you, Regina, for everything you do, and everyone else. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Kathy, I saw your hand first, so Kathy, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Hi, So, with the idea of forgiveness, something that's from the Course that's been very, very helpful for me, and I don't know where it's at in the Course, but it says something like, forgiveness remembers only the loving thoughts from the past and those that were given you. All the rest must be forgotten. So that for myself, when I notice my mind in condemnation of myself or others, that definition has just simplified what it really means for me to forgive. And I can simply let all the other madness go. I can let all the condemnation, all the criticism, just let that go and reflect on only the good, only the love. And it just seems to work so much better when I make it simple for myself. Like you said, Regina, simple is better. And that works for me as well. So I just wanted to share how impactful that particular piece in the Course has been for me. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Barb, the mic is yours.
I have to say that one of the biggest things, problems I had with the Course for years, although I stuck with it, was the concept of forgiveness. I could not understand forgiveness for the life of me. and now, I mean, I have to say that one of the most helpful things for me was to realize that forgiveness is the same thing as acceptance. We're using words here to describe things that can be interpreted different ways by different people. But when I can accept all things exactly as they are, as someone else put up earlier in the room, accepting everything exactly as it is to forgive. You just let everything be. I know that when I have a tension, when I have something as a grievance against another person, and I know probably almost everybody here in the room feels that there's that tension in my chest, that I have not, that I have some suffering, as Regina was saying. And who am I thinking of when I'm suffering? Myself. And myself in relation to other people. That's what happens when I'm suffering. But I like the point here today, which I had not really focused on, but to relax with my grievance. To relax with it, let it just be, and then I can do the self-inquiry. So that, thank you, Regina, for that. That's extremely helpful. It's kind of like if without that step, you're trying to push yourself to do something that you're not ready for. Anyway, I really like that. And so I'm going to let the mic go. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to share what Jim Dunn has written on the board. What's in view now is the necessity of forgiveness requires us first to have taken something personally. And he wrote something similar up above. It's already scrolled out. Let me go back and get it. Oh, he said, in order to forgive, we first must condemn something, someone or something. So, as I mentioned during the teaching, there needs to be an I to judge. You know, there needs to be an I to have a grievance. There needs to be an I to resist. And, you know, the Course calls forgiveness the final illusion. Well, that's because there's also an I taking some kind of steps to forgive, an I taking some kind of steps to undo, to be free from the suffering of grievance, right? Without the I, there is no grievance. Without the I, there's nothing to forgive. And so, you know, Jim says he's decided not to take life personally. Barb mentioned forgiveness and acceptance are the same. If we have mastered the art of being without judging, there will never be anything to forgive, no matter what the appearance. But when the I comes in, the I that judges and the I that gets offended and the I that wishes things are different, that's when there seems to be something to forgive. So it's an illusion. Forgiveness is an illusion to correct an illusion. The idea that I am a person. The idea that I am something separate. An illusion to undo an illusion. Without the first illusion, the I, the second illusion, forgiveness, is unnecessary and not needed. And many of us, I'm sure, are experiencing, at least I am, I experience what I call a flickering in and out of the I. Sometimes I'm in it, sometimes for a period of weeks, and sometimes I'm not. Again, it could be a period of weeks, it could even be a period of months. When I'm not in the I, there is really just being. I mean, you know, I'm being with whatever is here, you know, and everything is, using the words of Michael Singer, everything is moving through, you know, and I'm always in this moment. I'm not thinking about past moments or future moments, and everything is accepted, and there's always a sense of joy. But then whenever the I comes back, whenever it flickers in, well, then that's when I feel like I have to return to spiritual practice, and that's what I do. It's like when there is no I also do not need spiritual practice, because everything is naturally fine. Everything is naturally accepted. Everything is naturally loved. You know, everything is naturally fine. But when the I comes back, the judging also comes back. And then I need to turn to spiritual practice. I never, for more than a moment anyway, I never go back into the ego like I used to be in the ego, living the ego, believing the ego. If it was angry, I was angry. I never put that costume back on fully. But sometimes it seems to be so close that I need to return to the spiritual practice. I need to return to the watching my energies. See, I don't have to be in the watching my energies when there's no I. But when there is an I return to the watching my energies. I return to the relaxing and letting things be as they are. So spiritual practice is helpful to the I. It's unnecessary to the flow. Why I experience what I call the flickering in and flickering out, I can't say. I can't say why I experience it. What I've learned to do is not judge it. I used to love it when there was no I and the flow was natural, and then feel like somehow I'd failed when there was an I and I had to return to the spiritual practice. And I just learned not to judge that. In fact, just as I said that just now, I was reminded of Peace Pilgrim's teaching that the spiritual path has hills and valleys. The hills would be that time when the flow is natural, and the valleys would be that time when the I seems to come back and you have to return to the spiritual practice. But she says every valley is an opportunity to let go of more ego. She calls it learn more lessons, so that the next hilltop is higher. And she says eventually she reached a mountaintop where she never had to go back down into the valley. So maybe I'm just experiencing something similar. I call it flickering in and out of the eye, but maybe it's that similar path that she experienced that she called hills and valleys. And I certainly did not judge her for having hills and valleys. So to judge myself for flickering in and out would be foolishness. So it's just a matter of being aware when I need to be in spiritual practice because there's an eye here. And then, of course, I don't even need to think about it when there is no I here. Right? That's natural. Natural is natural. But when unnatural returns, I need to return to the practice. And that's what I do. That's what I do. So, but practice itself is illusory. Yeah. So what I'm going to do now is, I'm going to play a song in just a moment, but before I play our closing song, I just want to say thank you, everyone, for coming on this Sunday morning to our gathering. This will be my last gathering for a while, and the reason for that is I'm traveling. I lead the gathering every third Sunday. I rotate along with Phil Frisk and Dove Fishman, but three Sundays from now I will be in Costa Rica. And so Tom Conway, who's an Awakening Together licensed minister, is going to lead that gathering. It will be his very first gathering. And then 3 weeks after that, when it's my turn again, I will be in St. Louis. So Jacqueline Eckert, Tom's wife, who is also an Awakening Together licensed minister, is going to lead that gathering. I will be back to lead a gathering on April 27th. However, I won't be away from the sanctuary all that time. I'll be here more than I'm not, I think. But as far as just my third Sunday, I'm going to be missing those for a while. So my next gathering will be April 27th. But I will be listening in whenever I can. I don't know about whether I can listen in. I know I can't from St. Louis. I'll be teaching. And I'm not sure if I can from Costa Rica, but if I can, I will. All right, so I'm going to play our final song. This is another song that I love by Jason Gray, Remind Me Who I Am. Now, in the song, Jason Gray is singing to God, asking God, remind me who I am, because I keep forgetting. I think I'm this unworthy loser. But when I hear the song, I actually hear it from a different perspective. I hear it as everyone in the world who does not know who they are asking me to remind them who they are by remembering who I am. When I remember who I am, I naturally remind everyone else who they are through my natural beingness. So this is the song from Jason Gray, Remind Me Who I Am.
I lose my way, and I forget my name, remind me who I am. In the mirror all I see is who I don't want to be, remind me who I am. In the loneliest places, when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you, to you. When my heart is like a stone and I'm running far from home, remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough, remind me who I am. If I'm your beloved, can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong. Lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Whoa. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong.
Jason Gray, The name of the song is Remind Me Who I Am, and the name of the CD is A Way to See in the Dark. So thank you, everyone, once again. It was great spending the morning with you. I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn. You are all invited to stay for our social hour. You just have to bring your own drinks and snacks. Lynn, the mic is yours.